Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our focus this morning. Director Martha Hutzel is here and Deputy Director Rebecca Purdy is here. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Good to have both of you here. Always good to talk about the library stuff. This is, I guess, every time of the year, Martha's busy for the library, but it's busy even in the summer.
It's busier in the summer because kids are out of school and their parents are looking for things to do, and we've got a great summer reading program for all ages, so we're busy all the time.
Let's talk about the summer reading program. Rebecca, you and I years ago started talking about this and have done many shows on summer reading. And boy, this is important for kids not to just take the whole summer off.
That's right. Summer slide is real. And so if children are not using their brains during the summer, they start the school year further back than when they ended the previous school year. I know parents want to give their kids a break, and that's great. Kids deserve a break, but they do have to still have their minds engaged throughout the summer. And what better way to do that than by joining the library summer reading?
Summer reading's been going on just about a month now, but there's still about a month to go.
Absolutely. It runs all the way through August 31st, so it's not too late to sign up. And you can sign up either at your favorite library branch or by going to librarypoint.org/summer. It's super easy. Just need to answer a few questions. And this year's summer reading is a lot more fun than ever. There's an online component where you can complete different missions, you earn virtual badges, you win prizes. And there are raffle drawings and things like that. And actually, our sign-up is better this year than we had already. We have the same number more than signed up last year for the entire summer.
That's fantastic.
It is. It's really been a popular program.
I don't think they're doing it this year, but I thought last year when the kids reached a certain point, they could put signs up in their yards. And I saw some of those, and I just thought that was really nice.
It is really nice. And that is actually one of the prizes this year.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Kids can pick it if they want to have a sign in their yard that says that they're a super library reader. They can put one up.
I saw some in several subdivisions, and it just kind of gives you a warm feeling.
It's really cool. Yeah, kids are very proud. They should be.
Yeah, no, it is, and just the prizes and the reading, and it'll help them. It'll help them when they go back to school in the fall.
Absolutely, absolutely. There'll be studies have been run that show that participation in library summer reading programs. Actually, those kids who do that do better in the fall than their classmates who did not participate.
And the way this is set up, you don't have to plow through. They don't have to necessarily just plow through books. It's really set for the kids and for adults, too, just around reading something.
Absolutely. There's no required reading list. There's no required meetings or anything like that. It's just to give kids an incentive to keep reading all summer long, and they can read whatever they want all summer.
In advance of you coming and knowing you would ask me, I did sign up this morning.
Yay.
And it does. It only takes a couple of minutes. You set up an account with a username and a password. You talk about the library branch that's your main branch, and you're off and running.
That's right. It's that simple. And then you can earn, you just enter your reading, and adults can earn the virtual badges as well. I don't know about you. I have a Fitbit, and the Fitbit gives me badges, which my first ever badges, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that's so fun. Like, you walk to the Taj Mahal and things like that. And so the summer reading program has a similar type of virtual badge for different programs and things like that you earn. So it's exciting because you get little rewards, and they're virtual, but it's still fun.
I think that one of the great things I think about summer reading is it gets kids connected to the library, and you hope then that carries on through their whole life. I remember as a kid going and doing summer reading.
Me too. I still have some of the little paper bookmarks that you used to earn at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. It is really great. And you do want them, and they usually do. Even if they get too busy with high school sports and things like that during the school year, we can count on them coming back, and they have a positive experience around the library. Make them lifelong learners.
Martha, did you ever do summer reading? You seem like a high achiever.
I did summer reading, and growing up on a farm, we didn't go to the library as often as one would think, but we had a mountain of books at home, and we read whatever we wanted.
Okay.
Any restrictions.
Okay, so you did it, but you weren't in a formal program.
No, I don't know that they existed then. I'm quite a bit older than Rebecca. We were encouraged to read quite a bit and encouraged to go to the library whenever we could, but it was kind of one of those wide open things. You just kind of did whatever you wanted to do. But my kids grew up in Fredericksburg, and we always did summer reading every single summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing, the other component that's been added in recent years is the adults. And it's good to model that for your kids. It's one thing to say, Rebecca, you're going to read this summer.
That's right.
And then I go sit and watch TV all night.
Yes.
But if you're reading together, it shows them this isn't something that I have to do because I'm a kid.
Right. And as we all know, enthusiasm is contagious. So if an adult gets excited about earning a virtual badge, and the kids do too, and the kids get excited about it, then the adults do as well. So it's something the whole family can share. And they should share.
Yeah. Librarypoint.org. And it goes to the end of August, right?
That's correct. August 31st.
Okay. Again, it only takes just a few minutes to sign up for summer reading, so do it. The other thing that's kind of tied into to summer reading or just kids reading, talk about the launch pad and what's involved with that.
Launch pads are the newest, coolest thing that we have at the library. They are an interactive tablet, and they can be for younger children, ages 3 to 5, or a little bit older, ages 5 to 7. They come in a wide variety of ages, but we focused on those two mm-hmm. ages, and they have 23 different themes. They are a bright orange, preloaded, no internet needed, no Wi-Fi needed, safe opportunity for a child to read books because they're preloaded with books,
yeah.
Educational games, science games. We ordered 92 and they were all checked out within 24 hours and they all have holds on them.
I bet.
We have more on order. We purchased these through two donations of some of our well-loved local community members, author Cheryl Woods out in Westmoreland County, and some in memory of Farzin Siddiqui. His widow wanted to make a donation to the library in his memory. So we thought this was the best way to reach a lot of kids at one time. And all you need is, the opportunity to come to the library, have a library card, and check them out. And they're a lot of fun. My grandkids love them.
What a great idea, though. It gets in the hands of a lot of kids and probably some kids who might not have access to a tablet or things
like
this.
That's exactly right. And an iPad is a great thing for an older teen or an adult, but you need Wi-Fi access or internet access.
Right.
And that opens up the entire internet to a young child, which some parents might not be comfortable with. This doesn't need internet access. There's no way to load anything on it or take anything off of it. A child can sit and read books. They can page through different things. They can use headphones if they need silence in the family car while they're going on a road trip. And they can create a simple avatar of their own that walks them through some of the activities on the launch pad. It's from a company called Playaway, and we've absolutely loved them.
Okay. And it's for what, ages 3 to 5 and 5 to 7?
Yes, that's what we have right now. We hope to add to that, to the collection and to the age level, and to purchase some more. The great article in the Freelance Star recently was so popular that a retired Lieutenant Colonel Ballard and his wife, Mrs. Ballard, in North Stafford, saw the article and sent us a check for $500 to purchase some more launch pads.
Oh, wow.
So we hope that other people will see that article as well and realize what a great thing we have going. So just get a library card and come on by and check some of them out or get on hold for your favorite topic.
So when you check it out, you get it for 2 weeks?
2 weeks, absolutely. And we no longer charge overdue fees on teens and kids' material. So there are no overdue fees on these. However, if they're lost, there is a $50 charge.
Okay. Okay. What a great thing, Rebecca. With you and having a background on the children's side of things, mm-hmm. I would think that librarians are just thrilled to be able to see these going out to these young kids.
It really is great. In today's day and age, I think the assumption is that everyone has internet access at home. Mm-hmm. And that is not true. My parents live out in Hartwood, and there's no good way for them to get internet access.
Yeah.
So this is a chance for families who live out in Hartwood or in the rural Spotsylvania to be able to have the same experience that kids who live in Fredericksburg and have internet access to have as well. They're really durable, so parents don't need to worry about them breaking very easily. It would take a lot of work. They're built for kids and to take kids playing with them.
Now, what a great thing in the fact you, parents don't have to worry what might they be looking at, especially at that age. It's all controlled.
Yes, we've all heard the horror stories about kids accidentally buying or intentionally buying things from Amazon on their parents' account or running up their gaming account for iPhone and things like that. This will not happen with these. They're locked down. They only offer what they offer.
And you figure a few years ago, we would have looked at it in ages 3 to 5 and 5 to 7 and thought, well, they don't know very much and this will all be basic. A lot of them know. They kids start at such a young age able to do this kind of stuff.
They absolutely do. I have 2 young grandchildren in that age range, and they already know how to swipe a card.
Yeah.
Grandma, I need your password so I can use your phone to play a game or read a story or whatever.
Yeah.
They understand how this stuff works because they've grown up with it already.
Yeah.
So,
it is called Launchpads at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. You can check it out. Martha Hutzel, Rebecca Purdy here from the library. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Director Martha Hutzel here. Deputy Director Rebecca Purdy is here. And one of the things, Martha, that's pretty exciting is the library administration. You'd always been up on the top floor of the downtown library, but you have moved.
We have moved. We needed to make that third floor of the headquarters library on Caroline Street into public use space. So we moved all of the admin team out of the third floor and into, it's really the old Gallahan's Furniture Warehouse at 125 Old Greenwich Drive. And
okay.
We are in suite 160. There's a nice big sign up there at the moment. We had about 12,000 square feet over there, and we gained about another 12 or 13. So we've got about 25,000 square feet to spread out, to have our admin team. We've got some staff meeting rooms, training lab, and that sort of thing going on over there. We hope in the future to have a place where people can pick up their holds as another location for holds pickup.
Okay.
And a Friends of the Library bookshop. We have the space for that over there. We still receive a lot of donations in the Friends of the Library. It's a fundraiser for us.
Well, that's a great idea.
We think so, too. We're really excited because now on the third floor of the library, we'll be turning some of the former offices into quiet study rooms, into small meeting rooms. We're hoping to do some renovation there and work with the city on the building and move some of our adult collection up there so that we can get that off of the second floor. We have long needed to turn the second floor into a children's and teens only floor. So we'll have a whole lot more room on that floor to spread out and offer more things for kids and teens.
Wow. So this really is accomplishing a lot of different things with just one move.
It is. It is. The library system has talked about it for 10 years, and the space simply wasn't available, and the budget wasn't great. The economy wasn't great. Everything is a lot better now. We get fantastic support from our jurisdictions, Stafford and Spotsylvania, and the city of Fredericksburg in Westmoreland County. And so the city has now taken over maintenance of the headquarters library, and that's a big asset for us that we don't have to deal with. And now with us moving out, we are able to focus on a lot of other things for that building. We're very excited about the future for the headquarters library.
Well, you talk about the future, and when we talk about all these programs and continue to talk about them each month, you see just what the library is doing. But something like this is such a tangible thing to show. We need that space, not for our offices, but for what you just talked about.
Absolutely, absolutely. That building has a gorgeous view of the Rappahannock River, and we want to open that up so the public can see that from the third floor. It's a beautiful view of Chatham Manor. We hope to have a nice space up there for adults to browse the collection, to have a small meeting room, to have a group study room. They can bring their laptop and work on their college degree or do their business from their laptop or whatever it is that they're doing that day, write a paper, do FaceTime with their family loved ones overseas, whatever reason that they need to use a small meeting room or a small group study room. That's our plan.
How long will this all take to this? It's one thing to talk about it, but it does take time, I guess.
Yes, it absolutely takes time, and it's a city-owned building, so we'll be working with the city of Fredericksburg about what we can do up there. We have a lot of support from the community. We have some donations from some of our favorite patrons who just love the library, and we're hoping to do some things with that. We need to put new carpet. We need to do a refresh up there and move the collection, buy some new shelves. I would hope we would be done in about 12 to 18 months.
Okay.
But that's a rough estimate.
Yeah. I never thought the view over it, because I guess you can got a nice view of Chatham from up there.
Oh, it's a beautiful view, and we want the public to be able to see that. We have had offices on that backside of the building ever since it was renovated many years ago. And this will be an opportunity for people to just sit down, browse the collection, read a book, relax at the library, and see the beautiful view of the Rappahannock at the same time.
The downtown library, did that used to be way back when it was built? Was that a school?
It was a school. It was Lafayette Elementary. There are a lot of people in this area who come into the building and say, I went to school here. I was in sixth grade in that room or fourth grade in that room.
Oh, wow.
Quite a few people. In fact, some of our elected officials went to school there, and it's a beautiful old building, and it has gorgeous grounds, and we're just thrilled that the city has kept it as an historic building and that the library can use it, and it's so well-maintained and so well-loved.
I was, the other night, Music on the Steps, just sitting there and just looking at the building, and I thought that same thing. I thought, boy, this is a really nice-looking building, I knew about the move, and I looked up there on the third floor, and I thought that's going to be a nice space.
That's going to be a beautiful space. We need more meeting rooms in the library system, period. But particularly at that building, we really only had three meeting rooms. And we have plans to, expand that third floor, use that space for, what the community wants. And we're open to suggestions and ideas from the community. If they have a particular need, they can let us know.
Well, you and I have talked before. On this show, we've talked about how the importance of libraries in the community and how the internet has changed a lot of things, and you've embraced that. But the need for libraries exists, and I just think of you talk about the needs there. If you go to whether it's Salem Church or Porter, any of the libraries, I mean, they're just bursting at the seams.
They are. In fact, Rebecca and I have been at four of our branches this week, and they were continuously busy the entire time. The computers are busy. The kids' areas are busy. It's just nonstop families coming in and out. And libraries really do transform communities. And it's not a cliche. It's a fact. We offer a lot of services that other organizations or agencies don't offer anymore, or perhaps never did. We are open to everyone for whatever they need us for.
Well, Salem Church is the branch that I'm most familiar with. But a few months ago, it was on a Saturday morning. It was a cold, dark kind of day, and I'm out by the Spotsylvania Courthouse in the snow branch there, and it was really busy. And to me, that was really an eye opener.
It is. It's a great eye opener. The Marshall Center is another old high school that the community has used and put a library in, along with a lot of other county offices and services. We have some plans to do some work out there as well. We want to offer more things. It's a busy little branch. It's about 5,000 square feet. And that was one of the branches that we visited this week. And it was nonstop. They had a pause for reading program, which is kids reading to specially trained therapy dogs. They had 37 children come to read there.
Wow.
That's not a large branch, but that's a huge number of children who want to read to dogs. The Spotsylvania Courthouse region. So we're very happy about that.
Now, and you think that a lot of those kids are probably from more the rural part of Spotsylvania, people that are coming there.
Yes, I believe they are. And maybe some people visit that area because they'd like to avoid the traffic on Route 3. Mm-hmm. And so they can stay out in a more relaxed atmosphere.
Speaking of changes in the branches, the Porter branch, you're doing making some changes there.
We are. Stafford County generously funded new bookstore style wooden shelves for the branch, for the adult collection and some of the teen collection. A lot of people aren't aware They have more display area. They're lower, so you can see there's these beautiful windows at the back of Porter. And they've been hidden for many years by these tall metal shelves. But now you walk in and you can see the sun. You can see light at the end of the building. You can really, Martha was talking about the view from headquarters. So there's this, now there's a view at Porter.
Yeah.
Back where you can just really see these beautiful, gorgeous windows that haven't been visible before. And the shelves are really attractive. They're low. They're easier for everyone to access. You don't need to worry about someone climbing up on a step stool to try to reach the top shelf. They're all available to pretty much every size. And there's so much display space. We were there yesterday, and it was all we could do not to to take all the books off the shelves that were on display, because now they all look so beautiful and appealing, and we were seeing lots of holes where people were taking books and really appreciating the beautiful covers.
I'm gonna have to take a look at bookshelves and compare them.
It's true,
because I've never thought of that, but seeing a picture and thinking, I guess there is a difference.
There really is. There really is. And we have these style of shelves at our Salem Church and England Run branch. They're the newer remodeled branches. And so being able to do this at Porter, an older branch, it really has changed the look and the feel of the branch for the better. And staff worked so hard. We had to only close for 2 days for the entire process, and that was to allow a big tractor trailer to pull in with the shelving. And so part of the shelves, the branch was closed for a while, and everyone was just great. The customers really seemed to understand and were very supportive, and we were getting great feedback about the branch. And we're going to have a grand reopening on August 24th in the morning at 9 a.m., and the public is invited to come and join us in a celebration.
They are indeed, and we are also planning to repurpose all of that old steel shelving as much as we possibly can at our non-public library administration center for the books that we keep there, and for the Friends shop and the Friends sort of sorting area. So we don't waste anything. We just keep reusing it until it falls apart.
This was really a big project. You start thinking about it. At first, I'm thinking, you're doing some improvements, but then you start thinking about how are we actually going to do this. There's a lot to it.
There was a huge logistics, even the planning of the shelves and where they would go and the measuring of the walls to make sure everything was going to fit. We were really sweating it, but it all worked out, and we had a great team with lots of great ideas, and they all worked together to make sure it went as smoothly as possible, and they did a fantastic job.
And on top of that, when you take books off shelves, you have to keep them in order.
Yes.
You have to take them off the shelves, put them on wheeled carts, keep them in order, and then keep the carts in order, and then put them all back on the shelves in order.
I never thought of that.
Quite a process. There are actually companies that do it, but we did it ourselves.
Wow. Yeah. Because when you go and match everything up, it's got to be there.
It has to be back in order. I know it can find what they're looking for. You know, fiction's in alphabetic order by the author. And then, you know, the Dewey Decimal System is still used to keep nonfiction in order. And it saved a lot of time in the long run to keep it in order. So that was a good thing for us.
This show has been just filled with information, just as far as, bookshelves, never even thought of that. But now that you say that, there really is a difference. And then moving books, it's not just, let's just put them over there.
You doesn't work that way for a library.
That.
No,
right.
Not that simple.
So again, the big celebration, the grand reopening of all this on August 24th, 9 a.m. I'm guessing, is that a Saturday?
Actually, I think it's a Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Thursday.
Okay. The grand reopening then, but so everything's back to normal then at Porter, or as close as you can.
It is back to normal. We were there yesterday. That was yesterday was the first day the stacks were completely open to the public, and everything was going smoothly.
Okay. So improvements at the Porter branch of the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. Rebecca Purdy, Martha Hutzel here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our focus this morning, librarypoint.org is the website. Also, the Facebook page. It's a fabulous Facebook page that is often humorous and up to date and gives you all kinds of things of things that happened on that day and books you can read about it. So you can check that out too. Rebecca Purdy and Martha Hutzel from the library here. Summer Fun Fest time is almost here, and this is something that's been done in recent years. And I guess it's summer and it's fun.
That's that about sums it up. Definitely.
Moving on.
But no. I can elaborate. So we do have at our branches, starting August 3rd and running through August 18th, a community celebration. We'll have games and activities, popsicles, because you can't be out in the sun having fun without popsicles. And so a lot of our community partners come. So we might have karate demonstrations. Frequently, we'll have a school bus or a fire truck or a police car.
Okay.
So we really partner with the community to offer a lot of fun. It's a family activity for all ages. Our Friends of the Library help sponsors it. And it's just there's a lot going on, a lot to do. And they run from an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on the branch. But, of course, you know, you go, you have fun, and then you leave when you're ready.
Okay. Well, in each branch, if someone hasn't experienced it, each branch is it's kind of its own little family and community. Because generally, the people that go to that branch live kind of nearby.
Absolutely. We have a lot of neighborhood branches. People walk to the library. I've said before, I think when you're at England Run during the school year, you can tell what time when school got out, even if you're not looking at a clock, because the kids are coming straight over from Gale Middle School because they can walk there after school. And so a lot of it's a chance for the community to get together, the neighborhood community, and then also the local police. Like I said, they will come and have their car, and the fire truck will be there. The fire truck sometimes has to leave and go take care of an emergency, but it always comes back if it can.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun for children to meet their community leaders and their friends.
Well, the other thing too, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, you get kids and you start having fun. You're at the library and they can go in and get a library card.
Absolutely. Library cards are free, and we give them out to all ages. And the child is never too young to get a library card.
So I guess this is all this information on where each of these Summer Fun Fests is online or on Facebook.
Absolutely. They're on librarypoint.org is our website. Of course, you can go into your favorite branch and get details. And our At Your Library magazine is not only available at our libraries, but at many places throughout the community.
I see those things all around town. They're colorful and a lot of information.
Yes. We partner with Fredericksburg Parent. They're delivering their magazine to different offices.
Okay.
And then they deliver ours as well while they're at it.
We've got one in the
we saw that when we came in
the lobby here.
Yes,
just
thank
so,
you.
So people can know. No, it's not only for kids. If you do have young kids, it's incredibly informative.
Right.
But for all ages, all the adult programs are in there too.
Absolutely, there's so much going on. No matter what your interest is, we have something that appeals. I promise you. Whether it's a class event, a book, a database that we have something for everyone.
It is Celebrate Summer at Fun Fest, and it is all through the month of August. Again, go to librarypoint.org for the information on where it's happening at your particular branch. The library is involved with the summer lunch program. I was at the kickoff over at Salem Church, and you know you talk about libraries being a community. You had the food bank there with information on signing up. You had the band from Chancellor High School was there playing.
Summer lunches are a big deal nationwide, but in our community there are a lot of people who need that summer lunch, and we do partner with three different organizations, and we have this offering at three of our locations for anyone 18 and under. At headquarters, we partner with Fredericksburg City Public Schools for the Mobile Cafe. Pulls up right in front, Monday through Friday at 2:00, and kids can do an activity, some kind of a craft or fun event, get some books to check out, and have a nutritious lunch. And at Salem Church, which is the biggest program, they have fed up to 150 kids there. Most of these are feeding between 150 and 150 children, so offered a nutritious lunch in the summer. And they, at Salem Church, it's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 11:30. And they've got an entire system down. It's right in the big meeting room. And again, they have volunteers. They have guest readers. They have books kids can check out. And they have activities for kids to do. So it's a fun thing to do in the summer. And at England Run Branch, the Heartwood Center brings bags of groceries to complete a meal for a family. And they can pick up bags of groceries and then take them home. It's every Saturday during the summer through August 26th in the afternoons from 2:30 to 5. So many different ways to help balance out that child's nutritional needs, and the library is a place to do that.
What you really have made in the library, really in so many ways, is our focal points. All of these branches.
They're all focal points. For instance, the one at Salem Church is partnering with the food bank. And in the back of the Salem Church branch, there are gardens that produce vegetables. I believe we have 20-some beds back there now, 15 or 20 beds, raised beds and non-raised beds. And that produce goes to the food bank, which also helps some of these same families. So we do a wide variety of things, not just a warehouse for books anymore. It's really not your grandmother's library.
No, I was just going to say that it's you do these fun kind of activities there, tie in the library, and kids don't associate reading with something.
Yes, reading is not a chore. We don't ever want reading to be a chore. It's a very fun thing. We have books for all reading levels, all interests. We have anime and manga. We have classic literature. We have great kids' books. We have picture books. We have educational entertainment DVDs. And we have books on audio that you can listen to either on a CD or on a computer. If you have a child who is a reluctant reader, it's a great way to get them to experience a book, is to listen to it, because someone else is doing the reading.
All of that, and especially kids' books today. That it just amazes me, the stories and just the cleverness and the colorfulness of a lot of books today.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Illustrations have improved greatly over the decades, and they really do have a lot to offer. They're a visual feast. That we were at Salem Church earlier this week, and there was a book that just beckoned to me, a new Mother Goose, but with a Spanish translation as well, and the illustrations were just incredible.
Yeah. Anything real hot as far as what kids are looking at this summer? I didn't warn you on this.
I know.
If you can't think of anything, it just occurred to me.
You remember I have a new job, right, Ted?
Yes. I know, and you're not. Yes.
But I still try to dip my toe in the water of children and teen literature. There is a great YA series, Ember in the Ashes, by, I'm going to butcher her name, but I'll do my best. I think it's Sabah Tahir is the author, and it's a YA fantasy set kind of in a Middle Eastern setting. It's for the older crowd, but it is a great series, and I'm anxiously awaiting the third one, which I know she's writing because I follow her on Twitter.
Okay.
Close.
Okay. So there's but those are the kind of things, if you do have questions, and you may take your kids to the library and don't have any idea, I don't even know what to recommend that they read.
Exactly. So if I had been prepared for that question, for example, I might have yesterday gone to the children's desk or the teen desk at any of our branches, and they would have had some great recommendations for me personally, or for my 5-year-old or for my 10-year-old. And you can tell them things like, my child says they hate to read, or my child reads everything. What do they read next? And we have an answer.
Yeah. So just go in and ask those kind of things, because there are people who can answer all those kind of questions.
We love to talk books. We really do. So don't ever hesitate to ask us for a great read.
The coming up next month is the solar eclipse.
It is. We're very excited. And we are offering a lot of programming around the solar eclipse. And we have gotten a lot of the safety glasses that are needed. So I don't know about you, but the last time the eclipse happened, I didn't have the proper eyewear, so I wasn't able to see it.
Yeah.
The library is not going to let that happen this time. So we have programs that are coming up on August 21st. And peak viewing area time for our area is 2:42 p.m. So you can go to one of the branches of our library during that time, and you can get glasses so you can safely view the eclipse.
Okay. And around here, it's not going to be like, if you're in South Carolina, places like that, it's going to be totally dark. I guess we'll notice it a little bit.
I believe ours is August 21st to in that peak time of 2:42.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to get totally dark around here.
I don't think it's not supposed to. Yeah. Because I know people that they're going to travel south so they can see it.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah. But I know that there are things going on around here, and I think it'll be. You're going to notice some, but it's not going to be completely dark. But that's interesting, and I know you'll have the library will have books and things and special displays, I'm sure, on all of this.
Absolutely, we are really promoting, and our Colonial Beach branch is actually going to be bearing a time capsule. On the 21st as part of the eclipse celebration. So there'll be some different mementos, and people are invited to bring small items that they would like to add.
Okay. That's at Colonial Beach?
That's at Colonial Beach, Cuckoo Branch.
All right. We're talking Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning, librarypoint.org. We'll wrap it up when we come back with Rebecca Purdy and Martha Hutzel on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
And welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Rebecca Purdy, Martha Hutzel from the Central Rappahannock Regional Library here this morning. Librarypoint.org to find out all the happenings at the library. Also, you can check out the library on Facebook. A couple of other things going on. The Patowomac Village will be at headquarters downtown next Saturday. Is it the 5th?
It's Saturday, August 5th.
It's coming up.
I know. I can't believe it. We're pushing the end of summer, and people are talking about going back to school. But before they do that, they should come by Headquarters Library from 9 to 3. In front of the building, this beautiful longhouse will be set up. Mm-hmm. Children and adults, anyone interested, could learn about the life of Native Americans, open fire cooking, cornmeal pounding, music. It's a really neat longhouse. You can go inside it, and we do it annually, so it should be a big draw for people to stop by and check it out.
I've been there before. It is really it's interesting to see all of that up close, and they usually cook something up in the corner of the.
They do. That's part of the open fire cooking. They'll teach you all about what Native Americans used to eat, how to pound corn. I don't know exactly what they plan to cook, but it's usually a big. A big setup with artifacts and crafts and display and everything like that. It should be really fun. Kids absolutely love it.
I was going to say, there's usually like a canoe there, and kids will sit in that.
There is. Kids can sit in the canoe. Kids can walk into the longhouse.
Yeah.
The tribe will be in costume, so kids can see about that. And then they can head on upstairs to the second floor and check out some kids' books on the topic of Native Americans and local tribes.
Well, I was going to say, there is so much locally here about all of this.
There is a lot. There's a lot locally. And we try to be sure that we promote something historic like this that happened right in this community that families can enjoy and children can take part in and learn about without having to necessarily travel outside our community. It's right here in your backyard.
And then through the 17th of next month, the Strong Men and Women in Virginia History exhibit is at the downtown library.
That's right. It's an exhibit that you can stop by and see. And we that was a grant awarded exhibit, and we were very pleased to get it because one of the honorees is Colonel William E. Bailey. He was an aviation pioneer, one of the an Army combat pilot in Vietnam. Who won a lot of medals and also was the personal pilot to General Westmoreland and Vice President Hubert Humphrey. And so he's being honored, and he has local family connections.
These exhibits, you generally have one, or you have a lot of these exhibits during the course of the year, and a lot of them have local ties and good stuff. When you go to if you're at the downtown library, you got to go through that area that has it.
Yeah, it's in the atrium area, and there is a lot that you can learn. It's a lot of fun. We have one coming up, too, at the Porter Branch this fall on Native flora and fauna. And usually the Virginia State Library has worked on these, and they have let you write a grant and get them, and then their chance to give a new perspective to members of the community.
This is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library focus this morning. And one of the things we often talk, and we started off talking with summer reading and focusing on kids, and talk about if you have questions about reading and for your kids to ask librarians. But I guess it's the same thing with adults. If I come in and would want, not sure what I want to read, that kind of information is available too.
Absolutely. Our staff tend to be great readers. And like I said, one of the favorite things we love to do is talk about books. Right now I'm finishing up the most recent book in the Others series called Etched in Bone by Anne Bishop. It's a fantasy series set in an alternative world where the Others actually kind of rule things and the humans have to follow and do what they want and obey their laws in order to exist in civilization. I'm also reading a great biography of Frederick Law Olmsted called A Clearing in the Distance. And he had a fascinating life. I kind of thought that he was instantly became a landscaper, but no, he did a lot of other jobs and did a lot of other work before he started working on Central Park and the Biltmore and things like that.
Okay. Interesting. What does the library director read, Martha?
The library director loves to read. I don't have as much time as I used to, but I'm listening to right now The Rules of Civility by Amor Towles, T-O-W-L-E-S. And he also wrote a book called A Gentleman in Moscow. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. And I am about to start Tales of Willow Frost by Jamie Ford, an author we will talk about when we're here next time because he's coming to Fredericksburg. In our current magazine, there are several titles here that I have read. I love books set in other countries.
Yeah.
The Light Between Oceans is an Australian story. Into the Woods by Tana French is set in Ireland. She's quite the spellbinding writer. There's usually murder mysteries. And I loved Paula McLean's Circling the Sun, which is set in Kenya. It's a beautiful story.
So do you both read books or do you read off of a Kindle? What do you prefer?
I had a Kindle and I used it for a while. I prefer a real hard copy book, a paper book, or an audio book. I love to listen to audio books. And when I take a road trip, I always have a book going. In fact, I even listen to them on my three-mile drive to work. It's amazing how many books I can get done in a year by listening. And it's very relaxing if you're stuck in horrible traffic. It's not as bad if you have a book from the library that you can listen to. But we have tons and tons of e-resources you can download to your phone. You can download to your computer. You can download to your iPad. You can listen to them through your car's speakers, or you can listen to them on your desktop working from home.
Well, we have just barely touched on a lot of things. I mean, one of the things, the lynda.com that the library offers is just a fabulous resource, and if you haven't checked that out and seen what that's all about, you should do that. But we are out of time. Thank you both for coming. This is great stuff, and thanks for what you do.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
Thank you, Ted.
Director Martha Hutzel, Deputy Director Rebecca Purdy with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, librarypoint.org. That's it. See you next week on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.